What's up, everybody? This is Tanner from TanManBaseballFan.com. Sorry for that sound in my steering wheel here. It's cold out. My car does not like the cold. I'm just dropping off Atticus as jiu-jitsu class here, and wanted to get back on with you. Like, I'm still bummed about last night, y'all. Like, me and Matt, we had a great conversation. The stupid thing didn't record any of it. But we will have him back on. I wanted to do a little bit of a recap. Not a recap, but actually kind of like a preview, I guess you could say, of what Matt and I will talk about. It's great stuff. Before I did talk about that, though, I wanted to kind of mention something that I had a little fun interaction with a kid that's one of Atticus's friends. He's, I think we know his family through church. He was at the Atticus's party, which, by the way, we had a party for Atticus for his 17th birthday. They do a Super Smash Bros. Tournament. And man, like, our house is packed. There were like over 30 kids there, and I just wanted to run away screaming. But it was pretty incredible. But anyway, so one of his friends, he was over to mow our lawn to raise some money for a mission trip about probably half a year ago or so, and. When he was done, he came inside and we were talking and started talking about baseball. And of course, oh, my ears perk up. Hey, you like baseball? You like baseball cards? He goes, oh, yeah, I love baseball cards. I don't have many of them, but I do love baseball cards. And this kid, I think he collects a lot of things. He is a collector and possibly a hoarder in training. And I mean, I'm not one to talk, but anyways, I was like, hey, you know, hang on a second. Let me see if I have something for you. So I run upstairs. Atticus didn't care about these, so, you know, otherwise I would have given them to him. But I had some Topps Heritage Yankees cards and from, like, 2018, I think it is, and, you know, a few other cards that were, you know, fun and shiny. I was like, well, hey, I'll tell you what, because he said something about him liking the Yankees as well as the Astros. So I had some Yankees and some Astros, and I was like, hey, I'll tell you what, take a look at these. And he just looked at me, he's like, oh man, these are so cool. I'll tell you what, you can have them. He's like, no way, are you serious? And, you know, he's so excited about those cards. And it was fun. It just kind of took me back a little bit to remembering and kind of like what Anthony was saying in our interview a few days ago on, you know, how he had his 1986 Topps All-Star Gary Carter. When he got his eyes just lit up as a child, or the 1990 score Gary Carter that was a dime that was just so super exciting to him. And it reminded me as a kid how I was when it came to cards like that as well. It didn't have to be a one of one. Like, obviously it takes a lot nowadays to get like super pumped. It's gotta be like a mega patch or a special one of one, not even just a one of one. Like, it has to be like a special one of one nowadays. It's kind of funny how that works, but anyway, so yeah, it was fun. It was fun to see this kid just being so delighted with having these cards for free that were really, I mean, worth maybe a few bucks or something, and that was really it. So, anyways, fast forward to Atticus's birthday party. I see him over there. I was like, hey, what's going on? How's the baseball card collecting going? He's like, yeah, it's going great. I'm actually excited to tell you, I've got 500 cards. And I'm like, whoa, all right, that's awesome. So I showed him a picture of an Altuve booklet I had because I thought he'd have a little bit of appreciation for that, you know, because it's a beautiful card. I actually just sold it, but, you know, it's a fun card to have while I did have it. But anyway, so I asked him the firehouse question. This is what I ask almost everybody. I didn't want to say if his house burned down because that's kind of morbid, but it's like if your cards caught on fire, what cards in your collection would you want to keep? And out of the 500 cards that he said, without missing a beat, he would say it would definitely have to be the coach cards. I have never heard that before, y'all. Like, that is awesome. Like, I love hearing something like that. And he's like trying to name them for me. He's like, he could name me any one of them, which is fine. I mean, I can't name any, you know, hardly any of the managers or anything nowadays in baseball either, so it's completely understandable. But I just got a kick out of it. You know, this kid, he loved the couple dollars worth of cards I gave him. He was excited to tell me about the 500 that he had accumulated through trading and buying a few packs here and there. And all that to say, his favorite cards of all were the coaches. It's just how pure and innocent of a collector that kids can be. And I say kid, he's a kid, but I mean he's probably 15 or so, I guess. But what a fun thing. I just really enjoyed that interaction with him. So anyways, moving forward as a little bit of a preview for whenever I have Matt back on, just to kind of give you a heads up of who he is, he's the co-host of the Essential Credentials podcast, and great guy. He actually is up there in Alaska, and the podcast itself is fantastic. He's actually an Alex Rodriguez collector. And the funny thing was, maybe it's just the podcaster in him. I don't know. I assumed we were going to camp out in all things A-Rod, but as it turned out, our conversation was really kind of dominated not necessarily of his collection, but more of '90s cards in general. And I don't really want to duplicate myself on this one versus what Matt and I are going to talk about later, but. It's a podcast. We'll talk about things over and over again sometimes. That's how it goes. But his podcast, Essential Credentials, with he co-hosts it with Greg. And Greg, we're going to have on at some point also. He's a collector of Tim Sam, and along with a few other guys like Frank Thomas and Nomar Garcia Parra, I think. But Tim Sam, I think, is his main guy. But anyways, it's the podcast is mainly about 90s cards, and it was born out of the Facebook group 1990s to 2004 inserts, and I love the group. It's growing, but it's such a fascinating time period for baseball cards. And interestingly enough, like I would almost say it's like the most fascinating time of baseball cards in many respects. And the funny thing is, y'all, is that like that's largely been skipped over by many, many, many collectors. And what I mean by that is a lot of us, we stopped collecting in like 91, 92, 93, 94, and didn't come back till like the mid 2000s. Well, that time pocket right there is like literally a hotbed for 90s inserts and parallels. And so it's just kind of a funny thing. So like, when I got back into collecting, it probably took me years. Like, first of all, the thing that took center stage for me was like these pack pulled jersey cards and autographs. I was thinking, holy smokes, these are amazing. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. It was like alien technology to me. Just like to you, quite possibly as well, if you stepped away from the hobby. But it took a few years, and then I started looking at these 90s inserts, and I go, huh, there's something about these cards. And then as I kept digging, I'm like, man, these are actually like really incredibly cool. There's a reason why the new card companies are trying to duplicate them in retro sets and everything all the time. And also on top of that, a lot of these like super rare 90s cards, they've got to a point where enough big spender collectors and investors have understood how desirable they are, because it's not just that they're rare, it's not just that they have big names, it's that they are incredibly innovative as well as extremely beautiful many times. So it kind of hits a sweet spot that's being touched by all fronts. And it's fun to see people that are starting to look at them go, oh, well, this is just some 90s card, it's not really a big deal. Well, come to find out, that card that you think is not a big deal is actually one of one killer. And what I mean by one of one killer is like some of these 90s inserts, they will slaughter a one of one card of the same player if they go up at auction. And, good example, Derek Jeter. Just happened, I've talked about a few times before, the 96 Select Certified Mirror Gold, y'all, at like a PSA 10 sold for $202,000 at auction. Do any one of ones of his touch that? Nope. It's don't even come close to it, especially for the newer ones. Sure, Derek Jeter will command some big money for sure. Absolutely, I'm not denying that. But will any other cards of his out there touch that? Probably not. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I remember trying to take a pulse on the hobby community as a whole. So what I did is I ran a poll on a number of forums out there. So Blowout, Freedom, probably Net54. It's been a couple of years, maybe 1 or 2 years ago when I did this. But one thing you have to understand is because the hobby is so broad, like you'll have all kinds of collecting groups that have their different areas of expertise. And so as it so happens, Net54, for example, is very much so really good into vintage stuff and pre-war, 19th century. Those are where the experts congregate. Freedom Cardboard, they're big into player collectors, 90s cards. That's kind of where the experts there congregate. Now for Blowout certainly is what, you know, to my understanding is like by far the biggest community of collectors as far as forums go online. That's not talking about Facebook groups or anything like that, but actual forums. And so, you know, the people that make up that, you know, that group there is really kind of experts of almost anything, but you'll probably get more casual guys there as well. But a lot of those guys are really big into prospecting and newer cards, the one of ones, the patches, and so on and so forth. So what I did, I thought this would be kind of like a fun little test. I ran a poll. I said, hey, everybody, what do you think is the best insert or parallel card from the 90s? And I put a bunch of them up there as options. I put like 93 Finest Refractor, 98 Crusade Red, 96 Select Certified Mirror Gold, 97 Platinum Totally Certified Platinum Gold. I put all the big ones in there, along with some others, of course. You know, I'm not, you know, saying them right now just yet. But interestingly enough, like on Blowout, the biggest forum where the majority of people congregate, what the majority of everybody voted for is the 1993 Finest Refractor. And if you're big into 90s cards, your jaw's probably dropped. I mean, don't get me wrong, guys. 93 Finest is awesome. Refractors are beautiful. But it is wild to think that's the top 90s insert or parallel. Like, it's probably not even top 10. And so it goes to show you that in spite of the fact that there's a lot of high-dollar 90s cards out there, the truth of the matter is we have a lot more room to grow. The reason why I say that we have a lot more room to grow on these is because the average everyday collector does not have a great working knowledge of 90s cards. And you know, to be completely honest with you, you know, I've been back in this for, I don't know, 13, 14 years, and I still don't feel like I know nearly as much as I should on the 90s inserts and parallels. There's a couple reasons for that. Now, let me give you a couple examples. So first of all, nowadays what we look at is we see the three card companies, Topps, Panini, and Leaf. Those are the main guys, and really the main one, truthfully, is Topps because they're the only licensed card company. That wasn't the case in the 90s. In the 90s, you had Topps, Fleer, Donruss, Pinnacle, you had Skybox, you had Upper Deck and Pacific. You had all kinds of these card companies. All of them were licensed, and almost all of them put out multiple card companies or different card sets. And I'll give you an example. I actually pulled out my binder as I was talking of Canseco cards that had Pacific cards. Is a set that, or a card company that started making cards for everybody, mainly probably around 1992-93. I know they did a few sets, if it's the same company, I believe it is, of like Nolan Ryan in 1991. There's like a billion card set of Nolan Ryan. I think they did one of like Tom Seaver or something too. Cool cards, but I think they started making full sets, I believe, in 1993. There's a lot of Spanish language in these cards as well. So it's really interesting. It adds some nice variety, but they don't stop there. They have the regular cards, they have the prisms, they have the auroras, they have the paramounts, the omegas, the vanguards, what else? Gold crown die cut. I mean, they had all of these different types of cards that they would pull out, so, or that they would create. And they're so creative. Like, even the base cards are just so neat. And not all of them, but even the inserts that are like not ridiculously rare. So 93, I'm looking at like this prism type of Kinseiko. They did one for 94 also. There's also a beautiful, what is this called? I wish I could kind of tell you, but it's all in Spanish. It's 95 Pacific something or other. It's gold. The entire background is gold and it shimmers so beautifully. It's holographic gold. There's a red foil and a blue foil card that's in that same year or the next. There's something called cardsupials. I think I'm saying that right, which is fantastic. I actually learned this year. I had everything like a year and a half ago. I didn't even know this, but in 1995 or 96, let me take a look. Oh man, I can't read it. It is, oh, 97, I guess. So 1997, there's a cardsupial card. It's a nice card on the front. It's got a picture of Canseco having already swung as a member of the Red Sox. On the back, there's actually this little slit. And so at first I thought this was some sort of like a condition issue. But what that slit is for is you can actually put a little mini Pacific card in there. And it matches up perfectly with the actual photography on the back of the card. So, Pacific did some really off the wall cool things. There's another home run fever card from Crown Royal in Pacific that you, I think it's heat activated, where you would press down on a few of the dates or something or the numbers, and if you won, you'd get something. There's some horizontal cards that are made of holographic foil that have like a die cut around a crown. There's some cards that have like the middle part as acetate that show the portrait of the card. The die cut portions of some of these cards, they're actually probably laser cut, are just phenomenal. I mean, they've done all kinds of different things. One of my favorites is called I guess it's EO Portraits or something. It's a sideways card, and it's got a picture on the left of Canseco having swung. On the right-hand side, at first glance, it's all black, but if you hold it up to the light, there's little laser cuts that actually make his face. So anyway, some of these cards that they came out with might be like, there might be like, say, four or five different parallels of a base-looking card where the only differences are the color of the foil. And you really have to be a student of 90s cards to fully understand what could be rare and what cannot be rare. So there might be two cards that are numbered to 100 or not, but one might have been released in a retail product and one might have been released in a higher end product. Higher end product might have yielded all 100 cards, whereas the retail product might have never been open, and so a lot of them might have been damaged by having been stuck together in a warehouse because of humidity and heat and that sort of thing. As well as the retailers may have just thrown out the product and might have just tossed the boxes. That's happened several times from what I've heard from others as well. So that so like one color out of 100 might be very easy to find, whereas another card out of 100 that of a different color foil might be impossible because who knows? Maybe there's only 25 out there that's left. So anyways, all that to say, the 90s are very, it's a very, very interesting time period. And I look forward to talking to Matt again, so that way you all can hear it as well this time, and hopefully I'll record, and just kind of enjoy hearing about some of these card sets, and hopefully being able to have your ears perk up a little bit when we talk about some cards, so that way you can look them up while you're listening and maybe make some purchases on some cards to enhance your collection and give it a little more depth. So that's all I have for you now. I will wrap it up, and I'm not sure when the next one is I'll do, but as far as podcasts go, but probably will be in the next day or two, I'd imagine. Thanks, y'all. Have a great day.